to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Hey, I was going to start doing a little series on the Father, but I just couldn't quit. I got a couple more I want to do on the Son, on Jesus. And this morning is going to be more theological than practical, as we've done. Why don't you go ahead and bring the lights up in the back? I see the lights are dimmed in the back there, not on me, in the back there. And we're going to talk this morning about Jesus the King. Everybody say the King. And so go ahead and put our first scripture up. I think it's Revelation 17. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of Lords and the what? He's the what? King of kings. And those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. I like that. Sound like the Marines, doesn't it? I mean, we're the few that are chosen and faithful. So I want to talk this morning about Jesus the King, and let's pray this morning. Father, we love you with all our hearts. We mean it, not just with our mouths, but with our hearts. Lord, we want to draw near to you with our hearts. We want to glorify you. We want to marvel at you today. We just want to look at you and be transformed. How we love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Hey, let's give the Lord a good clap offering this one. Would you do that with me? Come on. All right, you can be seated. You know, I've learned in my life that one of the ways to be transformed is just to get close and look at the Lord. My mama could always read me like a, but who you been with? You've been with the wrong people. I could tell you've been with the wrong people, how you're acting. And one of the keys about changing is just getting close to Jesus, just looking at him, you know, beholding him. As you behold the glory of the Lord, you change from glory to glory. And just that happens there. Many of you probably knew that in the fall of the year, which we're in now, I mean, thank God for the weather. You want to thank God for the weather? And we're in the fall of the year. You may not realize in Louisiana, but we are in the fall of the year. And in the fall of the year in the Jewish calendar, there were feasts, they called them. In the Old Testament times and Jewish culture now, they had seven great feasts that they have during the year. And four of them they did in the spring, and three of them they did in the fall. And when you begin to study it, one of the amazing things is that it began, you know, with Passover. And when Jesus came, he said, I've desired to eat this Passover with you. I'll not eat it again until we do it again in the kingdom of God. And many of you know that it began a prophetic fulfillment of what the feasts were pictures of. Passover, that when Jesus was crucified, he was crucified on Passover. The next feast was unleavened bread, and that was when he was buried and hidden away. The next one was first fruits, and he rose from the dead, corresponding to the feast of first fruits. He was alive with them for 40-some days, the Bible says, taken up into heaven. They're sitting there praying, seeking God, and just what happened was the next time, 50 days later, was what was called the Feast of Pentecost, and on that exact day, the Holy Spirit was outpoured, and there was a fulfillment of the Feast of Pentecost. How many? And then you had a long break during the year, and in the fall of the year, then feast number five began, was called the blowing of the trumpets or trumpets, and then you had the Day of Atonement, then you had the Feast of Tabernacles. How many of you had you been living in that day and saw what happened on Passover, saw what happened on unleavened bread, saw what happened on first fruits? Then saw what happened exactly on the day of Pentecost. How many of you would have been anticipating the Feast of Trumpets? Wouldn't you have been anticipating the feast? Well, one of you have been anticipating. The rest of you just dull as nails, you know, don't know what's going on, just whatever. No, you'd have been expecting something to happen on the Feast of Trumpets. And nothing happened. It was a dud. You had one of those firecrackers, you know, you get ready to throw and it's a dud. Nothing happened, you know, on the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was as if the Lord had suspended time. And but, you know, you ought to see I don't have time. That's not going to be the theme of the morning. But you ought to study the feast, because the Feast of Tabernacles had some elements in it that would probably mean something to you when you hear it. One of the things they had was the last trump. It was trumpets blowing. And it was the gathering together of the tribes of Israel. And the way that it was, it had something in the middle, in the part of the Feast of Trumpets called the Last Trump. Everybody said the Last Trump. And see, I believe, my own opinion is, that when the Lord comes, He's going to come during the Feast of Tabernacles. My own opinion, I believe He's going to. I know we can know the seasons. We can't know the exact day, so we don't know if He's going to be that. But He's going to, and the Bible says, and the Lord shall descend with a what? With a shout and the voice of the archangel and the last what? The last trump. And so there's going to be a fulfillment. And then you go into all these different things. The Day of Atonement, we'll go into all that, and the Feast of Tabernacles. But I believe it's a beginning. And the Feast of Trumpets was loud. In fact, it was the gathering together. I like it because I remember the funeral of Winston Churchill. I didn't attend it. I just read about it. And Winston Churchill, when he died, he was in one of the big cathedrals there in London. And at the end of it, it was going, and they played taps. Real solemn. And everything, when they finished taps, everything was real quiet. And the kind of guy he was, he had trumpeters on different of the balconies without the people knowing it. All the moment, they began to play reverently. They boom, just bang that place. He got his last bang into them. But what it was, it wasn't just to scare the people. It was the belief in the resurrection. Come on, somebody. It was a belief in the resurrection. It's time to get up. Time to get up in the morning. And so there begins to be these different things. I tell all that because we just came through the fall feast. They just ended in Israel. So the Lord didn't come back this year. Maybe next year. Come on, somebody. And the reason I'm saying that is because there is a lost truth that is not lived out much anymore. And that is that the Lord is coming soon. And I like this scripture in Genesis. One of my favorite scriptures. Go ahead and kick on Genesis. Now, come on, you got you. There we go. And Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days." Next scripture. Judah is a lion. He begins to speak about his son Judah. And how many know that Jesus is still the lion of the tribe of who? He's out of the tribe of Judah. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down. He lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall rouse him? The scepter. Everybody say scepter. Scepter was a symbol of a king. All right. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh. Everybody say Shiloh. Until Shiloh. I started to call this until Shiloh comes. He says the scepter will not depart nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience or the gathering of the people. Binding his donkey to the vine, his donkey's colt to a choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And verse 10 says, read that again. It says, the scepter shall not depart, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And the word Shiloh means to whom it belongs, to whom it is, or to whom it is reserved. Listen, I say it again. Jesus is still the lion of the tribe of Judah. And the scepter belongs to him. If there's anybody that the kingship of this whole universe belongs to, it's King Jesus. I want to talk to you this morning about Jesus as the king. One of the interesting things, I've been to Israel now numerous times, and I had a chance to go and I would talk to as many Jewish rabbis or others that would talk to a Gentile. Some will, some won't. And one of the interesting things I discovered when I was in Israel was the coronation of a king of Israel and how it had transpired. And one of the amazing things I learned was this, that no matter when a king came to power, say that the father died in the spring or the father died in the summer, no matter when a king came to power, he would come to power and he would rule and reign. But the coronation always took place during the fall feast. If he came to power during Passover, he came to power. But the coronation always transpired during the fall feast, during trumpets or atonement, or during the Feast of Tabernacles is when the coronation of the king took place. And today I'm going to talk to you about the enthronement or the coronation of the king. I had a lot of different angles I could have gone at this at, and I just felt impressed to do this. And but because I believe there is yet a coronation of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me be quick to say, he's already King of Kings and he's already Lord of Lords. He's not waiting to become that. In fact, 1 Timothy chapter 6 says this. Get that little finger ready. Push that button. There we go. Next scripture. Come on. It's not working. Hit it harder. Get a hammer out there. Just bang that thing. That'll do. It's not coming up. Let me just say this. Paul wrote Timothy and says, who is the only sovereign, who's the only potentate, the only King of Kings, and everybody say Lord of Lords. Are we stuck completely now? I want to see. Oh, here we go. Now he backed up. See, what you do is you back up, then you get a running start at it, and he'll just push it right on through is what he'll do. It's stuck there. It's as far as it'll go. All right, let me read it to you out of a Bible. I got a Bible. Watch this. 1 Timothy. In fact, this is where I got everything I put up on the screen. I get them out of this. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And look at verse 13. This is what it says. I command thee in the sight of God and maketh all things alive and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that you keep the commandment without spot and unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his time, everybody say in his times, shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody say amen. Not that one. We don't want that yet. And so you got to get this. Paul said in his times, he is going to show who is the only potentate. That means who is the only all-powerful one. Who alone has it all? Who is the most powerful one? The most. Matthew 28 in verse 18, Jesus after the resurrection, one of the first things he said, all authority. Everybody say all authority. Has been given me in heaven and in earth. All authority. Everybody say all authority one more time. All authority. Joe and them got to go. They're going to pick up the lady in the hospital. All right, come on, somebody. They're going. They're part of their class. Now, everybody say all authority one more time. Listen, one of the truths I said I remembered growing up when I first got saved was the coming of the Lord. One of the first books I remember Brother Eccles handing me was a little book by a man by the name of W.E. Blackstone called Jesus is Coming. And he said, Brother Terry, he said, you can't believe this, but the truth about the coming of the Lord was lost. He said, you know, during the Middle Ages, there was no teaching or thinking about Jesus is coming. That they just lost the truth. And when we were saved in young charismatics in the charismatic ranks, one of the biggest truths we had when we all were saved back in the 60s and 70s was this. Any minute, Jesus could come back. Sermons were preached about it all the time. Movies were made. The Thief in the Night. That was one of the big movies. The Thief in the Night. Songs were written. You know, I wish we'd all been ready. You name it. And so there was, they let you know this, any minute of the day, Jesus could come back. It made you think. In fact, they told you, when he comes back, you can have my car, you can have my house, you can have my Visa debt, you can have everything I got. Because Jesus is coming back. And so what happened was, we began, but I remember walking around, whenever I heard a loud noise, I would think, is that him? Is he coming back? When I heard a storm, when I heard thundering, I would think, is he coming back? And so what I've learned to do this, but what I saw over the years was when the Lord poured out his gifts and his mercy and all that he gave to us, we began to concentrate on those rather than on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We began to think about more of the gifts and get enamored with the gifts. In fact, to the point where some people, you could almost tell, would rather Jesus not come back for a while. Lord, Lord, they're having such a great time with everything taking place. And we become like people who literally get enamored by the gifts of God rather than God himself. So I learned in my life, when I was preparing for this morning, it came in my heart afresh and new. You know what? Jesus could come back today. Look at this. Look at John. Go next. See if we're going to get this. John says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it not yet appear or reveal what we shall be. But we know when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies." Everybody say purifies. You know what happens when you believe that Jesus is coming and could come today? Guess what it does to you? You purify yourself. You know what? You can be in a house and it's all messy. And can you imagine, has your house ever been messy? Can you imagine your phone rings? Hello? Pastor Terry, yeah. Oh, you're in our neighborhood? You want to come by? How many know a lot of energy is expended right at that moment? What if you got a phone call? Yes, Jesus, you're coming. You're halfway here. Oh, yes, sir. You know, I mean, just this pet peeve while I'm on it. You know what I learned in life? A lot of people do not come to me and bring garbage to me. Do you know why? Because they know that I don't like garbage. Come on, somebody. Let me give you an example. The garbage man on my neighborhood comes on Wednesdays and Saturdays. They come twice a week. They come to our house. Wednesdays and Saturdays. They come to our house. And what I do is, I go out there. Guess what? I go out there and I look and I watch. And the big old mechanical arm comes out, picks up my bucket, throws it in the garbage can. I watch it as the garbage truck goes down. Guess what? The garbage truck does not back up to any yard in my whole neighborhood and dump all of its garbage out. Not a one of them. You know why? Because they know the garbage is not welcome in that yard. Boy, I'm on a pet peeve, I can tell. I'm on a soapbox all by myself. You know what? There's probably one place in Baton Rouge that says, "Bring me your garbage." It's called Devil Swamp. Come on, somebody. I had a person one time when I was just a member of the church, and they said this to me. They said, "I don't know why everybody just comes to me with all the garbage." All right, let's move on. Titus chapter 2. I could tell that was soapbox. "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. Looking for the what?" Looking for what? "The blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself a people, his own, a special people zealous for good works." What are the keys about looking for the coming of the Lord? Getting up and saying, "Lord, it could be today. You could come today." What it does is it purifies you. It gets you to where I better clean things up today. It's a cleansing agent in your mind. Everybody say, "The King is coming." Would you say that? The King is coming. And whether you know it or not, he could come today. Look at Mark chapter 13. Look at this. "An evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all that were sick and possessed with demon possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out demons and did not allow the demons to speak because they all knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Simon, I can tell, search for him. We are in the wrong scripture. I can already tell. I can read this until it ain't going nowhere. Let me tell you what the scripture I needed to say. It says this. It spoke about that he said he's coming soon. Everybody say he's coming soon. Jesus is coming. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this one. 1 Corinthians 1. Go to the next scripture. "So that you come short in no gift, eagerly doing what?" Eagerly doing what? Waiting for what? Waiting for the revelation or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to the next one. Look at 1 Corinthians 16. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Our Lord comes. Literally, the old King James says, Maranatha, which means the Lord is coming. You know, one of the keys in life is to remember beyond anything that the Lord is coming. I like what Jesus said in Revelation chapter 22. Says, behold, I am coming what? Go to the next scripture. Behold, I'm coming quickly. And behold, I am coming what? My reward is with me. Go. You know what he says? Go to the next one. It says, he who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming what? Let me tell you something about the Lord. The Lord is coming, and the Bible speaks about it. It says he's coming as a thief in the night. He says, don't be like the servant that says our Lord delays his coming. Starts beating his manservants and doing all this stuff. When you keep in your mind the Lord could come back today. I could, before I go to sleep tonight, Jesus could come back. How many would like for the Lord to come back today? Would you like for the Lord to come back today? I mean, are you really? Or you say, well, you know, I want to get this done and that. You know what? You come to a place in your life where you say, you know what? I need to eagerly await the coming of the Lord. Now, that was just preliminary. This is not as long, but this is what the point of the message was. When I was in Israel, I learned this. When a king came to power, what time of the year, he always was through the coronation or the enthronement occurred in the fall of the year during the Feast of Tabernacles. And literally, there were four parts to a king being enthroned or to a king going through his coronation. He came to power. He was king of kings. He would be king, but he would not be coronated until the fall of the year. And I love this because I want to do this, and we're just going to magnify the Lord today. But there were four parts to it. And I want you to listen to this because I don't believe that we've missed anything. You would think, sometimes I used to think, you know, Jesus has already risen from the dead. He went back and to the Father, and everything's happening in heaven. And what's it going to be like when I get there? It's going to be like I'm 2,000 years late, you know, to the party, and all this stuff has occurred. And I'm going to have to get up to speed. I won't know what all's going on. Let me tell you something. Everything is waiting for the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord. And let me tell you something, there is going to be an enthronement, there is going to be a coronation, and every one of us is going to be standing there. There won't be one bad seat in the house. And we'll watch the king coronated. We'll watch the king begin to be enthroned upon the thing. And you begin to read and understand when I studied out in Israel how a king was brought, not to power, but a king was brought to the throne and coronated. I want to use those four things, and then we're going to watch a little video, and then we're going to worship him. The first thing, the first part of a enthronement or a coronation of a Jewish king was the giving of the decree or the scepter. The giving of the decree and the scepter. When a king was a coronated, everybody came from all over the lands. And when King Solomon or King David was enthroned, there would be the giving of the decree or the scepter. You'll see it in Psalms 2. Look at this. It says, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. That is, God the Father is going to declare him, even though he already is. I've told you that. There will be a declaration one day. Your ears will hear it. Your eyes will see it. There will be a declaration. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're going to be there. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you're my son. Today have I begotten thee. There is a decree. Now look at Psalms 45. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter. Look at Hebrews 1 and 8. But to the Son, he says, you're what? Listen, we're going to stand in heaven one day. You haven't missed the greatest event ever. And I think one of the greatest events of our future is going to be to come to the coronation of the King of Kings. You know, in Europe, one of the greatest things was to be able to go to the coronation of the King or the Queen of England. And many of them would go, and there was a no story about the mouse that went and hid under the chair and didn't see any of that. He was just, the cat that went to the coronation. And all he did, he saw a mouse under the chair, and he just focused on the mouse. I'm going to tell you, when you get to heaven, you're not going to be focused on nothing else except the enthronement of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And to begin it all off, there's going to be a decree set forth, and he's going to be called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A scepter is going to be given as a symbol of his authority and his kingship. Number two, the ceremony of taking the throne. He's literally, listen, Jesus is going to be brought. He's going to be declared the King of Kings. He's going to be handed from God. He's going to be handed a royal scepter. And then he is going to take his throne. Look at Luke chapter 1. Let's go through these real quick. Watch this. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him what? Will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom, there will be what? There will be no. He's literally going to be given by God the Father. He's going to be proclaimed King of Kings. You're going to be there. He's going to be handed the scepter. Number one. And then the second part of it is this. You're going to watch Jesus ascend to the throne of the universe and take his place on the throne of the universe itself. You're going to be there. And the Bible says, go to the next scripture. Watch this. Daniel 7. I watched till thrones were put in place. And the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. Fiery stream issued, came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. You're going to be at this. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Next scripture. Is it stuck in? I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall never be destroyed. You're going to stand there and watch this. You're headed toward that scene one day. He is going to take his throne. It's the enthronement upon it. Revelation says it another way. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with 7 seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the lion," come on, Shiloh, "the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll." That's the title deed to earth. "And to loose its 7 seals." Go to the next scripture. And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, though it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the... You're going to be here. Each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll." This is the enthronement of the king. "To open its seals, for you were slain. You redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Let me tell you something. The day is going to come when we're going to all stand and be right in the middle of all this and see him take his place on the throne of the universe. The third one is this. When that has happened, when the Father has proclaimed he is King of Kings, and when he is enthroned, he walks and steps up to his throne. And then he is seated on that throne, holding the scepter that's been given him. The third thing they would do to a Jewish king was this, was the acclamation. All the people would shout, God save the king! Everybody say that with me. God save the king! In England, they did that if you ever seen one of the English enthronements or coronations. But look at 1 Kings chapter 1. It speaks it up there. Then Zadok, the priest, took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn and all the people shouted, long live the king. How many know Jesus is going to live a long time? Come on, somebody. The day is going to come when we're going to be there and there's going to be an acclamation and a shouting. Look at verse 40. And all the people went up after him, and the people played the flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to do what? You think it was a quiet, easy-going affair? Or does the Bible say it seemed like the earth was going to split with the sound of their joy? Go to the next scripture, watch this. To the chief musicians, the Psalm of David, Korah, oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice. This had to do during the time of the coronation. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great what? He is a great king over all the earth. Go to the next scripture. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. All this was during the time of a coronation. Go to the next scripture. Now, remember, I need Revelation 4 or 5 right there. Remember, we put Revelation 5. You got the rest of that or you don't? You got it? Okay. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels round the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Watch this. Saying with a what? Listen, you may be reserved this morning, but in that day you're going to shout like I'm shouting. They said with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in, listen, the whales are going to shout this. Come on, somebody. Balaam's donkey could talk. The snake in the garden could talk. In this day, everything is going to be loose. Its voice is going to be loose. And it's going to be shouting one thing together. Long live the king! The worms are going to be shouting. Come on, somebody. With their eight hearts are going to be shouting and all. Every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, such as are in the sea, all that are in them, I heard them saying this. Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever and ever. Everybody say amen this morning. And then the last part was always this. There was this acclamation. It would go on for hours. When Jesus, you're not going to believe what's happened. When Jesus is enthroned on his throne, he is going to be proclaimed by the Father, you are king. He's going to be handed the scepter of the universe. He's going to then turn, he's going to be seated on his throne. And then we're going to shout like you've never shouted in your life. Your dog's going to shout, he is Lord. Your pigs will shout, he is Lord. Every creature on the goldfish in your tank are going to shout, he is Lord. How many think it'll be a fun time? I think it'll be a fun time. And then the last thing is this. After all that's done, go to the last one. After all that's done, go back. You know, I need number four. Go back to where you had number four. The fourth was all the kings. Says each of the subjects came to visit the king on his throne. Can I tell you something? You're going to individually be able to go and visit the king on his throne. Listen to this. And that day, it took a long time sometimes. I don't know how the Lord will work all this. In that day, they would come and they would visit the king on his throne. Go there to Samuel. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke and said, "Indeed, your bone, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in times past when Saul was king over us, you were the one that led us out and brought us them." And we're going to say, you're going to say a lot. "You know, Lord, when I was on earth, it wasn't my, I wouldn't got my paycheck from my employer. But Lord, you were the one that really paid my bills. Lord, I had a lot of help, but you were really my," and you're going to begin to tell him this. This says, "You were the one, Lord," said, "you shall shepherd," who led Israel in and out. "And brought in. The Lord said to you, 'You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.' Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to King at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." They had not done that. Look at Thessalonians. I love this. Watch this. I'm sorry. Go to the next one. "And now, O Father," this is what Jesus said to him. "Now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory that I had." Now, remember one day he took Peter, James, and John. He said, "Everybody else standing." He went up to a high mountain. And he got late in the day, and Jesus must have been praying. And the three of them went to sleep. Peter opens his eyes because something's, how sunlight's, it must be daylight. Something's blinding him. He opens his eyes and he looks. And to his utter amazement, Jesus had become whiter than a fuller's soap. It was like the strength of the sun was coming out of him. He was literally just blinding. The Bible calls it, doesn't give explanation, just calls it, he was transfigured. You know what that means? Let me just say what it means. It means who he really was got out of that mortal body for a little bit. And they saw him as he is, the King of glory. And there with him was Elijah, Moses, and the law and the prophets were until the sun came on the scene. And he says, he's praying. He said, now, he tells them, "Don't tell anybody what you've seen." And they didn't until I'm raised from the dead. And one time he's praying right before his voice. He says, "Father," no, go back. I hadn't read it yet. He says, "Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world." They saw a glimpse of it. Then notice what he prays in the end of John 17. Next scripture. "Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am. That they may do what? They may behold." They may be. Father, I pray the day will come when they can be with me. That they might behold the glory. I like what Paul wrote. Do this last scripture. Then we're going to do this little video. Thessalonians, "And to grant relief to you who are afflicted as well as to us. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire. Inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer punishment and eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." Now notice verse 10. "When he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among us who believe." Can I tell you, the day is going to come when you just cannot even say anything. You're just marveling at the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings. Everybody say, give the Lord a good clap offering. Bring the lights down. Musicians, come on up and get set, would you? I want to replay. I've done this before, but I got a new version. You've got to listen to this one more time in this context. S.M. Lockridge, old African-American pastor. And he preached, he had this one thing he used to do all over the country called, "That's My King." And one day you're going to say, "That's my King." You're going to say that same thing of Jesus. "That's my King." And you're going to say, you're going to tell me, just like the Queen of Sheba says, I heard about your glory, but the half has never yet been told. This is S.M. Lockridge called King of Kings. Come on, go ahead. Make sure the sound's up.
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. David said the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself. He's august. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the supreme problem in high criticism. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. And that's my king. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. He's a master of the mighty. He's a captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah. 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 His office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you, the heavens of heavens cannot contain him, let alone a man explaining him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah! He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The glory is all his. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forever, then amen.
Come on, let's stand up today. Come on, give a good shout offering. Lord, we praise you. Go ahead, Nicholas. We're going to sing that first song this morning. I think you're going to sing it with a little bit more gusto. And that was a song about He is King. Come on, you guys ready? Go ahead. Bring the lights down a little bit. Come on.
The Lord reigns, but the people shout. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad. The earth rejoices. The Lord reigns, the people clap their hands, the angels shout, the Redeemer's come to dance. Celebrate, celebrate, He reigns. Let me hear you sing, He reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns. We will sing. Thank you.
give a good shout to the Lord. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, you're worthy this morning. God, we are looking forward to the day when you're coronated. Lord, we're so excited to be there. Lord, we love you. But right now, Lord, our knees bow. Our tongues confess that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. We say with all our heart, you are King of our lives, King of our families, King of our church, King of everything we have. Oh, God, you're King. We love you this morning. You know, I believe, you know, you'll do me as the Queen of Sheba said, the half, really, we can't even start. But there is going to come a day, it's in your future, that you're going to stand there and all these earthly things will be gone and done away with. And your focus will be one thing and one thing alone. We'll stand there that day when he is going to be enthroned. We'll stand there the day that the Son of God is crowned, enthroned, the coronation of the King of all the universe. So, Lord, we say with all our hearts, we cannot wait to see the glory that you had with your Father before the world were. Thank you for desiring us to be with you to see that day. Thank you for wanting us there, oh God. And our hearts are just yearning and yearning and yearning. And in that time, I pray right now, Lord, as we live our lives, that we would never forget that you are coming back in flaming brightness, oh God. You're coming back. And I pray, Lord, in this week that we would live it day in, day out, that you are coming at any minute. You could come anytime. We love you with all our hearts today, oh God, afresh and new. And we say again that you're our King. We love you. Everybody said a good amen. Can you give Lord a good clap off? Would you say that? Hey, just close your eyes one more time real quick. Hey, maybe you're here and he's not King. And, you know, you never made him King of your life. And so right now all you have to do is just say, you know, Lord, I'm tired of being out and being under the kingship of the devil and the kingship of my own flesh and the kingship of this world. Lord, I want to be your subject. I want to be under your rule and reign. And he made a way that's very understandable. He just said, hey, here's how it is. You got to come to the end of yourself and you got to give yourself to him. Total lock, stock and barrel. No holding back, nothing. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I have lived my own life and today I'm surrendering. And I want to ask you, number one, I want to ask you to forgive me of the sin of my life. I want you to forgive. He's a savior first, but he can only be a savior if you know you're a sinner. And know that what you did is not some mistakes and it's not just it's sin. And when you realize that and you say that, then a sinner needs a Savior. And what a Savior he is and what he'll do in your life. And all you have to say, Jesus, would you save me today? Would you forgive me of all that I've done in my life? Lord, I ask you. And that's why he died on the cross. In that he just says, I forgive you. He paid a price because the sins that you did deserve death, and that's why he died, because of our sins. And he's willing to change places with you. His death will take the place of your death, and then his life and his righteousness and his right standing with God will be given to you. And that's what it means to say, Lord, would you forgive me? Would you cleanse me? Would you come into my life? That's what that simple little thing means, is that he's going to take yours and he's going to take your stuff and he's going to give you all of his, which was righteous. He never sinned. He was right standing before God. And he'll make your destiny different. Instead of hell, you'll be head toward heaven. And that's what he'll do for you right now. If you just call out, you say, I don't understand. You don't have to understand everything. You just call out to him. He's the doctor. Say, Lord, I'm sick. I'm spiritually sick. And the doctor will come and say, would you come and heal me? And he will come and he will do what he knows to do. He's the doctor. He has the knowledge. He knows what to do. Just invite him into your life. And he will do what he knows to do. He's done it for millions and millions of people. He can do it for you. Father, this morning I just pray for the lost and those that didn't know you. I just pray, Lord, would you do the miracle of salvation? Change them from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of life. Would you make their destiny different? And would you give them the same destiny that we have? That one day we'll all stand together and see you crowned King of kings and Lord of lords. How we love you with all our hearts. Everybody said a good amen. Hey, let's give the Lord one more good clap offer. Would you do that? God bless you.